Welcome to Cine Classics, unraveling cinema's timeless gems. Embark on a journey through the captivating cosmos of classic cinema, where we meticulously dissect and decode old films. From the golden age of Hollywood to forgotten treasures, prepare for insightful reviews and nostalgic reflections on the silver screen's most enduring masterpieces. I'm your host, Jihu Shin, and let's dive straight into episode 11.
Hi, my name is Frederick. I am the co-host of this podcast.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I'm a film analyst.
The film introduces Macomb County in 1933, and it's depicted as a small southern town filled with prejudice and a social hierarchy. And throughout most of the film, Macomb County, despite having quite a bit of houses, seems pretty desolate, providing multiple opportunities for Scout, Jem, and Dill to explore the Radley's house by themselves.
Exactly, and it seems like the director is manipulating this to try to imply the audience of Boo Radley's mysterious presence.
Yeah, and when the kids approach the Radley house for the first time, the camera pans to a slightly low-angle medium shot and reveals the old worn-down house with a dead tree. This gives it an ominous feeling and contrasts it to the picturesque surroundings.
Personally, this first visual impression of Macomb County gave some mixed feelings, mostly because it looked like a homely and recognizable town, but somehow holds some mysteries waiting to unfold.
Yeah, I agree with that, and something interesting that I noticed was the placement of the tree. The tree casted like a dark shadow across the house and covered most of it. I think this can be seen as a metaphor of the unknown but foreboding presence that the Radley's house emits.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And the aura maintains itself throughout the entire film and contrasts itself from the rest of the county. And that's what makes it so hard to forget. It's like an idea that is kept in your subconscious because for most of the plot, Boo Radley doesn't have much of an effect on it.
Yeah, it mainly comes to effect when you see Scout develop as a person through experiences with Boo.
Right. The film is shown through Scout's perspective, and it really allows us to experience the event through an innocent child's eye, providing us, the audience, with an unbiased viewpoint of the injustice that happens. As the story progresses, Scout matures along with the understanding of the complexities of human nature and the social injustice of our community. Initially, Scout is just a naive little girl who lives peacefully without any concerns or troubles. However, the first spark of the cruel world she experiences is her first day of school. Despite trying to stand up for the Cunningham kids, society kind of rejects that and she has to take the blame and burden for it.
Yeah, and that brought us to the scene where Atticus lectured her about it. We'll return to that later.
Right. After all that, she even witnesses the trial of Tom Robinson and observes how he is treated differently and unequally by other superior races. From this point on, Scout starts to question the morality of her society, and it seems she's starting to develop a strong moral compass.
I would say after the trial, Scout's experiences teach her a valuable lesson about empathy, compassion, and standing up for what's right, evolving her into a more compassionate and morally conscious person, which sounds quite a lot like Atticus too.
And I think you could also see this as a link with the title To Kill a Mockingbird. It was first mentioned in the film when Atticus told Scout and Jem that it was a sin to kill a mockingbird. This conversation is used as a metaphor for society needs to preserve and protect its innocence.
Yeah, I did some researching beforehand, and apparently mockingbirds symbolize innocence and purity. They don't harm anyone and only bring joy through their singing. Characters such as Tom Robinson and Boo Radley can be seen as the mockingbirds that we refer to because they're simply innocent people who are unfairly targeted by societal norms.
The phrase "to kill a mockingbird" is used again during Atticus's closing argument in Tom Robinson's trial. Atticus urges the jury members to consider the evidence with compassion and understanding, reminding them of Tom Robinson's innocence and contrasting his biased sentence to the murder of a mockingbird.
Overall, the title is a painful but real reminder of the moral lessons that revolve around the themes of innocence, justice, and consequences of prejudice and discrimination.
Yeah, and the court scene that we just mentioned is like the epitome of these themes, and I think that's why it makes it so memorable. The powerful and explicit depiction of the flaws of the justice system and the mockingbird of the story, it exposes the harsh reality of racial injustice to the young Scout. But it's not all as bad as it seems. Personally, the entire court scene resonated deeply with me as a viewer, because it highlights the fact that one can stand up for what's right in the context of an ethical dilemma, despite facing overwhelming prejudice and pressure. I think we can also agree that we are seeing these kinds of acts more and more in the modern world, with prejudice becoming unacceptable.
Yeah, on top of that, the court scene reflects the boredness and prejudice and discrimination, showing that it is prevalent even in the legal system, which were designed to uphold justice. Although we can't see their discussion in the film, the jury, despite the evidence and reasoning that proves Tom Robinson's innocence, came to the conclusion that he was guilty. This further shows the racial tension and injustice that have been already deeply planted in the legal system during the film's period of time.
Honestly, I believe Atticus is the real hero character that is holding this small Macomb County community together. From way before the court scene happened, the film heavily indicated Atticus as a virtuous and morally upright man, almost from the get-go from his interactions with other people. A special scene that showed this was when he makes a compromise with Scout after her bad school experiences. He doesn't rebuke Scout and instead has a gentle lecture, showing his respect for her opinion. This method of parenting can be seen as very modern and non-authoritative way, which is comparable to Bob Ewell's abusive actions against Mayela, his daughter.
Right. The majority of parenting back in the days and in the period of time of the story was usually fueled by aggression or dominance of the parent.
And the details of the shot in the scene also show the positive qualities of Atticus. The camera has a pretty low angle and is a medium distance, and that shows both Scout and Atticus's upper bodies. This angle gives a sense that Atticus is acting as a massive supporting pillar and guide to Scout as she comfortably leans on him despite her intense emotions. After that, the camera zooms into Atticus's face while subtle but cheery music starts to play along with a grown Scout narrating about her father. This use of calm, non-diegetic pacifies the heated situation in the dining room, and further proving Atticus's proficiency in his words.
A notable moment of Atticus's sheer virtuousness was the courtroom scene, where he defended and gathered evidence on the spot that a black man was not guilty of rape, despite being aware that the odds of successfully counteracting previous claims were slim, along with knowing he would end up on the bad side of the racist community. And by his own words, he managed to give him a good chance for a retrial, if not for the black man's untimely death.
Yeah, the same with medium shot with a slightly lower angle is used again to create a similar effect of making Atticus a powerful, reasonable, and righteous man.
After the court is adjourned, we get to see this beautiful but melancholic scene where a very low-angled and distant camera captures the children and the colored audience members. Personally, this was one of my favorite scenes of the entire film. It signifies their respect and appreciation towards Atticus for standing up for what is correct despite the odds stacked against them. The grim, non-diegetic music also helps to set that new atmosphere of the courtroom for a brief moment.
I have to agree with that. It commanded a lot of respect and strong sense of pensiveness.
Another character portrayed as virtuous here is Boo Radley, the mockingbird of the story. Although when you first hear about it, he is portrayed as a borderline psychopath and is more portrayed to be an evil spirit instead of a person haunting his house. The fact that we only get to see him suddenly hiding in the corner of the Finch house also gives quite a bad first impression to viewers.
Right. I was pretty scared of the scene at first. He was revealed to be hiding in the small gap between the open door, and the camera was a low angle, which made the shadows cover most of his entire body.
It resonated with the same ominous presence that we get from the start of the film when the kids were exploring Boo's house.
However, when Sheriff Tate suddenly moves the door away, Boo Radley is shut into the light literally and figuratively, revealing an expression of fear. This sudden change presents an unexpected new image of the mysterious and evil Boo Radley. The contrast of lighting within that short time presents a more vulnerable persona of Boo Radley.
This also further amplified when the camera slowly zooms closer into Boo's face as his expression slowly transitions into a smile. It gives a contrasting warm perception of Boo Radley, and when we later found out that Boo helped the kids, the audience were convinced that Boo Radley's evil nature is forced to question if he's really as bad as he was portrayed.
Yeah, and we feel wrong for getting influenced by opinions and that we haven't been that we've been simply judging a book by its cover. It could even be said that we weren't even judging the cover, as the film never explicitly presented Boo up until this point.
A notable mention does go to Sheriff Tate, though. Although he isn't as virtuous as either Atticus or Boo Radley, or even Scout, he can still be considered better than most of the characters in this movie. His action of refusing to convict Boo Radley, even though the law states he must be for killing a man despite being in defense of children, this shows that the sheriff does what he thinks is the best decision for the other person from his somewhat skewed moral compass, along with his regret of missing and killing Robinson, which shows that his sense of justice outweighs his prejudices and ultimately making him a likable but morally gray man.
Absolutely. And as we reach the end of another captivating episode of Cineclassics, I really appreciate you and our guest analyst, Jessica, and you, the listeners, for tuning into this episode. I'm grateful that we can thoroughly talk and dissect the film version of To Kill a Mockingbird. Join us next time as we continue our journey through the annals of film history, celebrating the enduring legacy of the silver screen. Until then, stay tuned, stay inspired, and keep your eyes up for these film gems.